You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 8th of July 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say that we have with us today the geopolitical analyst, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I am warm. It's going to be roughly a billion degrees today. So, you know, I may not make it. But well, I may get my car back today after hitting a deer, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's shocking. That must have been quite startling for you. It must have really shaken you up. I'm sure that the people that went to the festival that you went to at the weekend, they would have been very pleased that you actually made it there. It's pretty hot here as well, but it doesn't get so hot. I need air conditioning here. And of course, we do appreciate the fact that you keep the air conditioning turned off when you record this. So many thanks for that. Well, today we're going to be talking about what's going on in Canada. And I talked a little bit briefly about this on Real Britannia on Monday about the statues that were being lynched, statues that had nothing whatsoever to do with the Catholic Church. But things have escalated there and churches are now being burned down as well as statues being lynched. Two more Catholic churches burned down in Indigenous communities in Western Canada early on Saturday. The fires at St. Anne's Church and the Chopaka Church began within an hour of each other in British Columbia. Officers said both buildings were completely destroyed and they were treating the fires as suspicious. Last Monday, two other Catholic churches in the province were destroyed in fires as Canada marked National Indigenous Peoples Day. The investigations into the previous fires and these two new fires are ongoing with no arrests or charges, Royal Canadian Mounted Police Sergeant Jason Bader said. And it's incredible, isn't it? There's no mention of hate crime here. You've got four churches that have been set fire to and there is no mention of religious aggravated hate against Catholics. And this took place on National Indigenous People's Day. You can just imagine what would be said if on St. George's Day, say, in England, some mosques were to be burnt down. I mean, it's incredible hypocrisy that's going on here. Matt, what do you make of these churches that have been burned down?
Well, you know, I just published my paper on the BlackRock issue. And when you have one company literally controlling the economy of the planet, politics becomes nothing more than entertainment. And one of my predictions is that issues like this could be invented out of whole cloth, no different than writing a script. And this is one of them. The entire thing is a hoax. Not the churches, the reason for all of this. There's never going to be any attempt to solve the problem because, of course, the regime is creating it. It's a make-believe issue. It's something that the left has wanted to do for a very long time, burning down churches, tearing down more statues. They're going to continue to do this. They'll invent an issue, another issue, another issue. And frankly, I'm not so sure that the Indians are doing this. If you read some of their missives, what they're writing in response to this, it sounds so stereotypically leftist that it doesn't sound like it's coming from them. So the entire thing is fraud and a hoax. It doesn't make any sense. But the regime is going to create an excuse for them to destroy things they hate.
So it's more.
Of course, the local parishioners will not do anything. The bishops will be there with torches, and they'll burn their own churches down if they have to.
So you think it's leftists that are doing this rather than the indigenous people that are doing it. And I wonder who's doing it in France, because, I mean, this is going on all the time in France, and we suspect that it's Muslims, and now it's taken off in Canada. And you mentioned there what this is to do with. It comes after hundreds of unmarked graves were discovered at sites of former residential schools in Canada. The government-funded compulsory schools were run by religious groups in the 19th and 20th centuries with the aim of assimilating Indigenous youth. Indigenous groups have demanded a nationwide search for more graves. Lower Similkameen Indian Band Chief Keith Crow told public broadcasters CBC he had received a call early in the morning saying that the Chopaka Church was on fire. It had burned to the ground by the time he arrived half an hour later. "I'm angry," the chief told CBC. "I don't see any positive coming from this, and it's going to be tough. Many in the community are Catholic Church members and are very upset about the blaze," he said. Well, this is the strange thing, isn't it? The Catholic Church is helpful to these people. They go to this church, and these attacks on the churches, they are accompanied by blood red paint being thrown over the church and graffiti on there and vandalism. It does seem as if the left are riling this up and encouraging these Indians to have a go at the Catholic Church and have a go at white people. What do you make of what they're saying about these graves here, Matt?
Well, you know, I've argued for a long time that the child abuse issue in the Roman Church is a hoax. I converted out of that church, but if you look at the record, very few of these people were ever arrested, let alone convicted. And I say that because they've been building this deep cultural hatred for Catholics for a long time. This new invented issue, then, no pun intended, you know, lights the fuse that is going to lead to this kind of violence. Either that, or the left is just using this as an excuse, because it doesn't seem, it's no different than the Washington Redskins in American football. The Indians in this country said there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong or derogatory about the Washington Redskins logo or anything else. It's, you look at who's writing these things, and it's white, you know, white female leftists, Jewish groups. And they're the ones who are putting this out. So the Roman Church, the Anglican Church, these were the only ones who had any services, especially in the remote parts of the country, for the Indians in Canada. So the entire thing, I don't think it has anything to do with the Indians themselves. And now I think they may be afraid that there's going to be some retaliation.
Well, it's like the left are trying to kill two birds with one stone, isn't it? If they go after a church, they're hurting white people, and they're also hurting the church. They're hurting the Christian institution. Well, the unmarked graves contain the remains of 215 children, and they have been found in Canada at a former residential school set up to assimilate Indigenous people. The children were students at the Kamloops Indian Residential School in British Columbia that closed in 1978. The discovery was announced on Thursday by the chief of the Tklempup's Tsekwepemc First Nation. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said it was a painful reminder of a shameful chapter of our country's history. The First Nation is working with museum specialists and the coroner's office to establish the causes and timings of the deaths, which are not currently known. Roseanne Casimir, the chief of the community in British Columbia's city of Kamloops, said the preliminary findings represent an unthinkable loss that was never documented by the school's administrators. Canada's residential schools were compulsory boarding schools run by the government and religious authorities during the 19th and 20th centuries with the aim of forcibly assimilating Indigenous youth. So they're sort of implying there that there's some foul play here, but of course there's lots of reasons why these children could have died. There was a high death rate at the time amongst white people as well as Indians. And of course, then you had the fact that Indians weren't used to the diseases that white people brought with them. And Trudeau says it's a shameful chapter of our country's history. But why is it shameful? The Catholic Church tried to assimilate these peoples. They were trying to make it so that they could understand English and French, so that they could take part in the civilization that the Europeans had actually brought to the country and built. I mean, they could have just kept them out. They could have just said, no, you're not coming in. You don't speak our language. You're not our people. We don't want anything to do with you. And they didn't. They said, well, we can help you out here. We'll teach you. We will educate you. We will do everything we can to help you come into civilization. And this is the way that they are repaid for it. You have the prime minister of the country claiming it was a shameful chapter. Instead of speaking up for his ancestors and saying, well, I'm sure they wouldn't have done anything untoward to these children, he just seems to go along with this narrative that there must have been some foul play here. What do you think, Matt?
You know, as always, these accusations, they're put in the most vague terms. What exactly is the accusation here? That these schools were killing kids? Is that they were infecting them with disease? That there was some nefarious reason for them to be going to these schools? The entire concept was, as you say, but also for orphan kids. These tribes for centuries had no such concept of social service. They were at a very low level of civilization. They hated each other. And God, in many cases, they hadn't even invented the wheel. Absolute Stone Age level of existence. Of course, from the leftist and Jewish point of view, this is just an excuse to attack Catholics. But, you know, now history has been rewritten for a long time. Now it's going to be compulsory. They don't actually give a reason why any of this is going on. They never do. If they wanted to destroy these so-called First Nations, they could have done it without creating a school system. And as always, like the Russian church and the amongst the natives in Alaska and even in Siberia for that matter, this is the only way that the only opportunity these Indians ever got was through these schools. There was a public religious partnership ending really only in the 70s. So these were extremely positive. And there's no way that civilization could have ever functioned next to a white one. And to some extent, I'm thinking that this is a way for Indians dealing with their defeat, dealing with the fact that they were coming up against a far more advanced civilization in terms of science and government and everything else. And this is a way they sort of deflect the humiliation by claiming that this is all, you know, a genocidal a victimhood in that they're not responsible for it. But, you know, the truth is these people had tremendous opportunities given to them by the white Catholics and Anglicans at the time.
Yeah, if they wanted to kill them, they could have just shot them all with the overwhelming firepower. Why go to the bother of setting up a complicated process of enticing them into the school so that you could then secretly kill them and bury them in a secret graveyard? I mean, it's just ludicrous when you think about it. Well, a Hoax Watch reader presented bullet points on this hoax in response to a previous piece by Andrew Anglin. And he says, many Indian parents wanted to and willingly sent their kids to these schools and continued to send them there into the 1990s when they were closed. Attendance became entirely voluntary in 1947. The rate of child mortality was between 1 in 3 and 1 in 5 on average in Canada in the time period in question. Child mortality was even higher amongst Indians who had no immunity to old world disease. The Indians knew about these cemeteries for decades, and the only new revelation here is the use of ground-penetrating radar to quantify how many graves there actually are. Jews who lie about this hoax continue to refuse to allow ground-penetrating radar to be used to test their claims of 6 million being buried in work camps from the war. The dead Indian children were not returned to the reservations because doing so would have infected other Indians with disease. Pope Benedict XVI already apologized to the Indians for the schools in 2009. White adults who worked at the schools are also buried in these cemeteries. The wooden grave markers simply rotted away, and some records were lost in fires and floods. Indians also already got billions of dollars in reparations and an apology for these schools from the Canadian government, which is far more than they deserved, to be honest, says the commenter here. So this really blows this all apart, doesn't it? It says that there's nothing new here. They knew that these cemeteries were there. It's like they just keep regurgitating the same story every so often. I can recall this story coming up 10 years ago about how the Catholic Church was killing all these children, with smallpox in the blankets. And the church didn't even know that smallpox germs were responsible for smallpox at the time. And it says here, you know, they've already had an apology. So why is Trudeau demanding that the Pope apologize for this? It's just a huge hoax. And I do think it's a good list of bullet points here. Do you want to pick up on any of them, Matt?
Well, I'm glad he reprinted this, because this kind of history is going to be, you know, you search for this on Google and you're not going to find it. Everything will be about this issue. These schools had low paid white teachers and administrators who were putting themselves at great risk. A tremendous amount of both parishioner and public money went into this. Everyone who was teaching at these places were idealistic. These are savage populations. Their parents are in trouble. They're alcoholics, or they don't exist, which is how these things got started in the first place. And there's a place for them to go. I don't know about how tribal policies work or what they did with lost children or whatever, whether they practiced that, you know, Spartan genetic engineering for children who might be physically damaged. I have no idea what their policies are here. I have the feeling that's probably the case. But nothing here makes any sense. These people came to these schools and put their lives at risk. Many of them were killed. And you know, the thing is that the Indians have known about these graves for many, many, many years. All of a sudden now they get a green light for this. And it's going to make any kind of interaction with them, if they have any militancy at all, impossible. But I have the feeling, just like with the Washington Redskins issue, I have the feeling that your typical Indian up there, you know, is completely against burning churches.
Well, I'd also like to know what they think they're going to discover by doing forensics on bodies that are 150 years old to try and find out what the cause of death was. I mean, there's hardly going to be anything left of the body by that time. Then they're not going to be able to discover anything. So why are they bothering to do it? They know that these graves were there. They've always known that they're there. This is just an excuse to get it in the news again and to encourage people to attack the church. And there was a similar hoax story to this one that was debunked in 2019. The story told, alongside a photo that is doing the rounds again, suggests that school children of the Mohawk Institute, a residential school in Ontario, were shot in 1943 due to overcrowding. The Post also claims that their remains were only found in 2008, nearly 50 years after the institute was closed. The same story was previously shared on Facebook, Twitter, and on blogs as far back as 2011. But the story is entirely false. The Woodland Cultural Centre, the institution that manages the former Mohawk Institute building, told Associated Free Press that no mass grave was ever discovered on the grounds of the former school where the Mohawk children were interned, despite extensive archaeological searches. With well over 1,000 test pits covering the vast property of the Woodland Cultural Centre, the archaeologists have found no human remains and no mass burials, Cultural Centre representative said in an email statement to AFP. The Woodland Cultural Centre is connected to the nearby Mohawk communities who are represented on the centre's board of directors. So I guess there's a bit of a difference here, because they've done this ground penetrating radar and they said, well, there are some spaces under the ground in this new story, but I don't know that they've actually dug any bodies up. It may just be that they've discovered these spaces there, and they certainly didn't find any when they were doing it here. And also, as was mentioned, you're not allowed to do that around the work camps in Germany. You just have to accept the story. I think some people tried to do that around Treblinka and they weren't actually able to find anything. The Jews have this religious objection to it, that their bodies can't actually be dug up. So you're not allowed to investigate to see the truth of the story. So at least here, they are investigating to see the truth of the story. And this time that this happened back in 2019, it showed that the story was a hoax. Do you know anything more about this one in Ontario, Matt?
Well, the sad part is that your typical ignorant Canadian or American is going to just look at this picture with this infantile headline and believe it's true. It's on the Indigenous Media Network page. October 4th of 19. And the caption says, every one of these children was shot due to overcrowding at a residential school. Now, there isn't a shred of evidence for this. It was overcrowded. Kids coming to the school had nowhere to go. So they were cataloged, it says. Then the Canadian Army came and shot them all. Now, anyone who believes that is a complete fool. That's the claim here. And this did the rounds. It caused a lot of problems until finally AFP did this fact check. And I was surprised it's still up here. But that's the level of ignorance we're dealing with here. The whole story, every aspect of this story is nonsensical. So there's this claim that the Canadian Army and the church were working together to kill kids. There's an awful lot of resources and coordination, something that could be done by anybody at any time. The whole thing is nonsensical. They're inventing these stories to inflame, essentially to burn, to get white people out, to destroy them. And at least they had expressed this as a hoax. But you don't really need to know anything about Canada to know this is a hoax. That's the very way it's written. This over-emotional, breathless style that accompanies all of these ridiculous stories.
You know, the idea of schools just killing off their children, I mean, it's not logical, is it? White people don't think like that, least of all teachers. We can see what the teachers are like today. We can see what the education system is like today. I mean, they're all slanted firmly towards the extreme left, and I don't think it would have been any different back then. We have another hoax here as well from 2019. Hundreds of students passed through the now abandoned school before it closed in 1997. Some vanished without a trace. At least 35 children were unaccounted for in the school records, Supernant said. It had long been thought the field surrounding the derelict brick building held the unmarked graves of children. In the early 1990s, when the building was still operating as a school, Waterline Construction unearthed human remains. Supernant's team relied on the memories of community members to find the places where the missing children may have been laid to rest, and the radar detected underground disturbances in three different sites identified by survivors and other community elders. These are anomalies, she said. We cannot, with 100% certainty, say they are for sure burials and graves, but they are in areas where people had heard of there being these types of burials, and we can confidently say between 10 and 15 of those types of anomalies were found. One, we are pretty sure, was a coffin burial, which was pretty unexpected. It had a pretty distinct signature. So what we're really being told there is that they've actually discovered nothing. Nothing at all. They think one of them might have been a coffin burial, but they're not certain about any of that. And this is a Krista Supernant. What do you know about her, Matt?
Well, she's simply what they call an independent anthropologist. She's from Edmonton. She's not connected with the university or anything. So chances are she's just a leftist feminist activist. I'm not sure what she means by anomaly. I don't know why she assumes that she's supposed to be unearthing mass graves. But when you have the story lead off that way, any anomaly is going to be in the reader's mind automatically associated with that. And this is how journalists are functioning. It's a psychological trick. Community elders, survivors. Well, what is she talking about? And she won't say that there are mass graves, but that's the implication of the entire thing. Human remains, that could be anything. But given the nature of this issue, the reader has that implanted in his head to begin with. So any anomaly, the saying without 100% certainty. Well, I could say that about my neighbor's house too. It is a bizarre a psychological experiment to manipulate people, which of course, you know, for journalism is pretty advanced, but that's all this is.
Well, she continues. She says, there was a darkness about the place, the area where we found the most anomalies. The three of us who were doing the survey, none of us were surprised that this was the area, because you could kind of feel it when you were there. There was a heaviness. So again, she's talking about these anomalies. What were these anomalies? Did they actually discover anything? What do you make of all of this extravagant descriptive terms that she's using here, Matt?
Well, I included them here for that reason. She's going by feelings. She has this ideological predilection to believe that there are mass graves everywhere. And so her feeling that there's a darkness about the place and a heaviness, that's pretty much her evidence. It's based on feeling. But in saying this, again, the reader's going to say, oh, my God, what the heck happened here? But that's the nature of how these people are functioning. You imagine a scientist going around saying, oh, I have this terrible feeling about this experiment I'm doing. That's all this is, showing that this woman, not an anthropologist at all, is just a leftist activist can do what she pleases, and the press will be extremely sympathetic to her.
I think I'm probably more of an anthropologist than she is. I'm genuinely interested in different races and different cultures, and in particular how they are different from one another. Well, surprisingly, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has spoken up about this and denounced the church burnings. He has denounced the ongoing spree of arson and vandalism targeting churches as unacceptable. The attacks are believed to be retaliation to historic abuses of Indigenous children in church-run schools. And look at the way they say there, as if that's a fact. There were these historic abuses, and this was retaliation to it. Not retaliation to alleged historic abuses, but they just take it for granted that these abuses did actually happen. Trudeau said, "It is unacceptable and wrong that acts of vandalism and arson are being seen across the country, including against Catholic churches." And he said this on Friday, less than 24 hours after statues of Queen Elizabeth II and Queen Victoria were torn down by protesters in Winnipeg without any interference at all by police. The latest acts of vandalism followed a spree of attacks on Catholic churches built on First Nation lands. At least 7 churches have caught fire in recent weeks since the grim discovery of more than 1,100 unmarked graves at sites where Catholic-run residential schools used to operate. And as we've said, they knew they were there. It wasn't a discovery. They knew they were there. Tensions ran especially high on Canada Day, celebrated on Thursday, and at least 10 Calgary churches were defaced with red spray paint, some marked with the words, "We were children" and "Our lives matter." Trudeau said that while he understands the grievances of Indigenous peoples who are taking out their anger on the churches, he argued the attacks were depriving people who are in need of grieving and healing and mourning places. He called for reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Canadians, adding that years might pass before the wounds are healed. What took generations and centuries to break in terms of the relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Canadians, it will take more than just a few years to fix it all. Well, it seems to me that his government are the ones that are really encouraging this. I mean, he says he understands that their grievances. Or why isn't he speaking up for his ancestors? Why is he talking about this this relationship that took centuries to break down? I mean, there were Indian wars, weren't they? Didn't the Canadians go to war against the Indians at some point? And weren't they very, very gracious afterwards and said, we'll let you into our civilization. We'll give you reservations. We'll do what we can to look after you. They certainly didn't enslave them. They treated them very well. Why isn't he speaking up for his ancestors? What do you make of this, Matt?
Well, can you imagine we live in a society where it's a shock that a prime minister is going to mildly show disapproval to the torching of churches, the terrorizing of the actual terrorizing of an entire community up there who is defenseless. You know, white Catholics won't do a damn thing up there. You notice how she uses the phrase caught fire. Not that they were burned down, they caught fire, which of course is deliberate. If you read, I mentioned before, if you read the press releases and the editorials that these so-called Indian groups put out, it's boilerplate leftist. They say, we're about Indigenous rights, trans rights, homosexuals. Generally speaking, this isn't something you would expect from an Indian tribe or Indian elders. That's about the last thing you would expect from them. Using that kind of language and that very stilted, Soviet-style ideological way, you know for a fact it has nothing to do with Indians at all. Again, just like the Washington Redskins issue. But his big argument, we could do without this stupid comment from Trudeau. His big worry about burning churches is not that it's terrorism, not that it's destroying property, not that it's criminality, but that it deprives people of grieving places. That's his big argument. knowing full well that this is absolutely a meaningless statement, and that he is giving, I mean, he's excusing the destruction of these churches. He, of course, personally supports it. He has to pretend that he's against it. But the only reason he is that it deprives them of these grieving places, and by however, their claims are legitimate. That's what this whole ridiculous thing is.
Well, it's quite clearly terrorism, and it's quite clearly organized. You've got seven churches that have been set fire to, maybe others. It shows that there's organization there. They should be investigating to find out who the terrorists are. But of course, as you say, there's no mention of terrorism here. Just that it's going to take them a while to fix it all, a few years to fix it all. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Greatest Britons. And I will be back on Tuesday with the next Daily Nationalist. So God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.